John, the 12th chapter. Now, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Now, Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. A true character is revealed in time of stress. At moments of high risk and serious danger, the true person emerges. And perhaps for this reason, many avoid risk and responsibility because the persona projected hides the real self at heart, that in times of danger, we might not be the person we claim. The gospel reading takes place in the last days of Jesus, and Jesus intentionally went to Jerusalem, and all knew this was serious, dangerous business. Stress was high, there was great risk and certain peril. Hearts were revealed. Mary's heart and Judas's were revealed. Jesus walked from Ephraim to Bethany, a day's journey, but a long day. And it's not like now when we have lightweight walking shoes and smooth roads. The roads for Jesus jutted ankle-twisting rocks, dusty and hot, and no occasion for a cool caribou in which to rest. He arrived at Lazarus' house, brother of Martha and Mary. It seems these three were like family to Jesus. They were close. Not long before Lazarus died and Jesus wept, they were like brothers. Jesus had a family and Jesus belonged, and his brother died. But we know that death does not have the final say. Worldly powers wield the threat of death to make us fear, but we know better and know that death to be shallow and but a shadow. Jesus called him out, and Lazarus rose and lived. But resurrection is dangerous. Resurrection saps the power of those who dominate. Powers and principalities that control and demand are weakened without the threat of death. Their only power is intimidation and violence, and Lazarus is living proof of death's shallow threat. Resurrection is dangerous because it exposes the weakness of so-called powers. We read a few verses later in the Gospel of John. So the chief priest planned to put Lazarus also to death. Lazarus living exposes the sham of entrenched power. Now, the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary is filled with love. Filled with love and anchored in the power of kindness that overcomes fear. Gentleness, kindness, compassion, life, threaten those whose only power is fear. And those who want to dominate and intimidate will lash out at kindness. Gentleness is not for the faint of heart. Now, Jesus drew near to Jerusalem in his last days, and just outside in the suburb of Bethany, Jesus stayed with his good friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, and they had a dinner party in his honor. It was a poignant time, the kind of time you treasure, knowing that there may be no more to come. Mary removed his sandals and washed the dust from his feet. And then she took a whole pound of nard, a full pint of costly perfume, imported from India, fragrant and calming, and poured it on his feet, working into calluses and massaging sore muscles and drawing her hair between his toes. It was pure delight. Sensual and soothing. And the scene is almost seductive, recalling the biblical book of Song of Solomon. Eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. Physical pleasure is a gift from God. The biblical book Song of Solomon celebrates sensuality. Not the kind of demeaning sexuality of our current times, but sensuality that delights in our bodies. And again from the Song of Solomon, how sweet is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips distill nectar. The scent of your garments is like the scent of Lebanon. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all choicest fruits. Henna with nard, and nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all chief spices. A garden fountain, a well of living water, and flowing streams from Lebanon. And Jesus rests and welcomes the pleasure. Now, Judas is right, you know. The nard is costly, worth a year's wages. And Mary pours it out on Jesus. She could have given Jesus a token gift, a card or something to show she cared, a little something to know she's thinking of him. But is a little something the same as extravagant gift? Mary was given back her brother when Lazarus was raised. Martha and Mary were given back their life, their future in a society that depended on men for income and safety. And to Mary, Jesus was brother and family and savior. Outpouring gratitude and love, overflowing her heart, wanting to express the depth of her love for Jesus, Mary gave this costly gift and did this lovely thing. Gratitude. Everyday gratefulness for life and being is the key to happiness. It does not matter the amount of wealth or charmed circumstances. Comfortable and carefree or hard and stricken, those who wake up every day grateful are the ones who know happiness. However, gratitude has to be expressed, and giving is the expression of gratitude. Gratitude has to come out, is the Holy Spirit bursting forth and appearing as giving. Out of profound gratitude for Jesus, Mary gives pleasurable rest. But Judas doesn't get it. Judas is neither grateful nor generous. Because he is not grateful, he cannot be generous. Gratitude is expressed in a couple of ways. There's being generous with things, giving a present, for example. And then there is being generous with words, recognizing, complimenting, thanking. Judas is not capable of compliments. He is not grateful and thus cannot say kind words to another. And instead, he criticizes and he questions judgment and he disapproves. Why was this perfume not sold for 100 denarii and the money given to the poor? Not question, but accusation. Words of a greedy, shriveled heart. Judas did not care for the poor. He was greedy. He thought only of himself. He was a thief, an embezzler. He weaseled himself into being the group's treasurer so as to steal. Jesus and the disciples pooled their money and shared their resources, except Judas dipped his hands into the coffers, a little here, a little there. For his extra responsibility, he felt entitled to a little more. Not a generous heart, but one unsatisfied and selfish. Well, Jesus responds by alluding to the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Jesus calls Judas out, calls out his greed and selfish soul. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 11. If there is among you a poor person, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lend enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought. Give liberally and be ungrudging. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open wide your hand and to the poor and needy in your land. God's law in Deuteronomy, give liberally and ungrudgingly. The Lord commands this to achieve justice, but also commands this to give joy. Happiness comes out of generous deeds of gratitude. Jesus compassionately offers the gift of happiness to Judas. Giving is the way to happiness. Judas, it seems, preferred to hold a grudge. Giving liberally and ungrudgingly is the key to happiness. In the past few years, there has been a proliferation of scientific research into what makes for happy, content, good people. Case Western University Medical School in Cleveland, Ohio, is one of the schools of medical research studying the physical, psychological, and social effects of loving kindness. Scientific research. Recent studies support what Christians have known for centuries, that giving is fundamental to happiness. Case Western University found that giving in high school predicts good physical and mental health all the way into late adulthood. Giving reduces mortality. Giving reduces adolescent depression and suicide risk. Helping reduces mortality. Even the simple act of praying for others reduces the harmful impact of health difficulties. Medical research supports what Christians have known all along, that giving a generous heart is the key to happiness, is the key to a stable, nurturing society, is the key to contentment and peace, is the key to longevity, health, and full life. Giving is the expression of gratitude, the outpouring of a grateful heart. Mary pours out perfume as she pours out her gratitude for Jesus. Gift, gratitude, giving, reflects the God of scriptures who himself gives throughout history. Giving reflects God. Giving is the Holy Spirit itself pouring out from us. Giving is fundamental to happiness and faithful response to a giving God. Giving out of gratitude is the key to happiness. so, how happy do you dare to be? Amen.
Christ was from the dead.